Welcome to the Pro Basketball Talk podcast. I'm Dan Feldman. Very glad to be joined today by Noah Levick of NBC Sports Philadelphia. Noah, thanks for coming on. I think it's been about 2 months since we did this last. Ben Simmons is still on the 76ers, and so that means there's more issues to cover with it. And I think we got to start off with two very, very important questions. The first one, do we have any clarity yet on what Joel Embiid meant? Did he say, I don't care about that man, or I don't care about that comma man?
At this point, I don't care about that man, honestly. He does whatever he wants. That's not my job.
So it's funny, there was actually a little dialogue about that in the media room amongst us beat reporters, and we thought there was no comma. We thought it was, I don't care about that man. Regardless, the sentiment for a while from Joel Embiid was pretty consistent that he's not there to babysit, he cares most about the players on the team, et cetera, et cetera. But things have obviously shifted in a significant way here with Ben Simmons telling his teammates he's not mentally ready to play. And Joel Embiid, actually, before the Sixers home opener, taking the microphone and calling Ben Simmons our brother and asking Sixers fans to support him. So lots of twists and turns there. As far as that specific quote, I believe no comma, but regardless, the Sixers now, at least publicly, are putting on a unified front in terms of Ben Simmons is their teammate and they respect, you know, where he's at and want to be there for him. And Doc Rivers said today that Simmons has indeed been at the Sixers practice facility, actually was there for their shoot around today, put up some shots with Rivers' son, Spencer, who is one of the Sixers skill development coaches. And so for the time being, he's back around the team. And that is where we are at after lots of twists and turns here.
Okay, so I'm team comma. And I'm not sure, right? I think anybody who's certain is wrong. But I lean toward comma, and part of that is just the context. The question was, are you disappointed that Ben Simmons hasn't bought back in yet? Like you said, when Joel Embiid addressed the crowd for the home opener, said, you know, our brother Ben, that doesn't sound like I don't care about that man in terms of not caring about Ben Simmons as a person. Maybe he changed his mind. Maybe he didn't care about Ben Simmons as a person in that moment. I do think it sounded like there was not a pause, but sometimes the way people talk, pauses don't necessarily match up with their intent. So that's why I leaned slightly toward comma. But I also think, you know, if everybody ran with no comma, because that, first of all, that's the better quote, right? That's a fantastic quote. I don't care about that man. Wow. Like, that is biting. And he said some harsh things about Ben Simmons in addition, but that is above and beyond. And so everybody ran with that. If Joel Embiid wanted to set the record straight, I'm assuming he's had opportunities to do it. I'm assuming he could have done that through a team PR staffer. Almost everybody ran with the quote as no comma. Have you guys gotten any pushback from PR or anybody trying to argue at all that he didn't mean it as harshly as it would be without a comma?
No, nothing along those lines. And Joel Embiid has been awfully impressive with his candor in these media sessions. Pretty much every one of them has had a quote that jumps out at you, whether it's on Simmons or another topic. No pushback there. As you said, sure, it was perhaps the most explosive quote of that particular availability. But Embiid, for quite a while, until the latest shift with Simmons saying he's not mentally ready to play, was very firm. Earlier, he had a quote that he considered it borderline kind of disrespectful that Simmons was holding out and was not there for his teammates. We had the comment about the babysitting and not caring about that man or that, you know, whatever you think it is. It's been clear for a while that he's determined to help the Sixers win games, and that in his mind, focusing excessively on Ben Simmons is something that might detract from that. But nevertheless, for the time being, he's been publicly supportive, and this has been a major change now with Simmons letting his teammates know that he's not mentally ready after not speaking with them for quite a while.
You know, I think even if Joel Embiid meant it with a comma, like, he's the type of person who loves the publicity, loves the chaos, that, yeah, he's not going to set the record straight and let everybody talk about it. And if you're willing at least to have that out there, as everybody interpreting as, I don't care about that man, well, at minimum, that says something too. All right, the second big issue we got to get into right off the bat. What was in Ben Simmons' pocket?
Yeah, I don't think anyone knows with 100% certainty. I would be stunned if it was a cell phone, as I guess many folks were assuming. Looked like, in all likelihood, it was a practice jersey. That would be outlandish, even by the absurd standards of the saga, if he was carrying a cell phone during practice. So, yeah, my understanding, was that it was a practice jersey, probably. I guess only Ben Simmons knows for sure. But regardless, that particular day was an especially weird one, where Simmons, you know, was finally visible to us reporters, and it was quite obvious that he didn't want to be there and was just going through the motions and what have you. And then, sure enough, the very next day, we get the word that he's suspended for conduct detrimental to the team. But yeah, I'm not going to say anything definitively, but I will say I would be stunned if he was carrying a cell phone during practice. I just don't believe that to be the case.
So I also don't think it was a cell phone. I think there's some angles you can see. It's just interesting to me that we've had, you know, a week plus to get to the bottom of some of these very important issues of, you know, was there a comma? What was in his pocket? And we still don't know. There's so much confusion around this whole situation.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
A lot of my confusion, now that we get into a little bit more of the meat of the issue, you've mentioned it a couple times. Ben Simmons told the team he's not mentally ready to play. We've hit an era, and I think this is largely for the better, right? Kevin Love, DeMar DeRozan, I think were very widely praised for coming out about their mental health struggles. I think they were especially widely praised among you know, the NBA Twitter, progressive NBA fan demographic. Even in that group, I don't think Ben Simmons is getting the same treatment. I think people are still mocking him. I think he's still a joke to a lot of people. I think his refusal to shoot three-pointers, which I think is probably tied to a mental block there. It's not just that, but I think that's part of it. Like, he gets made fun of. Why is Ben Simmons treated so differently than Kevin Love, DeMar DeRozan, and other players who've come out and been varying degrees of open about their mental health struggles?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think the context is unique because the way that Simmons and his camp at Clutch Sports have handled a lot of this has rubbed many Sixers fans the wrong way and has just frankly irritated a lot of people just in terms of the basketball side of it. And I think probably a lot of folks do have trouble making that distinction between, okay, you know, this is frustrating as a Sixers fan that he's held out and that he hasn't developed his game offensively the way we would have liked, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, Ben Simmons is a human being who, in what I imagine is, you know, a rather vulnerable moment, has this meeting with his teammates and says to them that he's got some stuff going on mentally, that he, and, you know, in his mind, it's best for him not to play basketball right now. So, yeah, I think it's just tough because the context and the constant scrutiny that Simmons was under from a basketball perspective, and then it feels like a relatively sudden shift to many people. But Tobias Harris, I think, deserves a lot of credit for being impassioned and asking people to recognize that Simmons is a human, and to give him space and privacy, and to respect what he is going through right now. And, you know, it doesn't, I guess, get brought up a lot with Simmons, but it's unfortunate here too that he had some public family stuff that I'm sure was very difficult for any person to go through late last season. And, you know, there's a lot of things about him besides the holdout and besides not shooting threes and passing up a dunk and all of that that comprises him as a person. So, yeah, you would love for folks to recognize that. But on the other hand, I can understand that being especially difficult to reconcile, just given the spotlight that's been on Simmons, the basketball player, for so long here as this saga has really dragged on and on.
My theory of why Simmons gets treated differently, and it's not just one thing, but I think one of the prevailing things is that people see his mental health issues as very directly tied to his playing of basketball. They see him not shooting three-pointers. There was the report that some of his teammates suspected that he faked coming into close contact with a team masseuse who had an inconclusive coronavirus test because he didn't want to play game 7 against the Hawks, and that would be his way out. Like, I think people view these mental health challenges as directly tied to basketball. You make a great point. There's other things going on in his life. Maybe it is directly tied to basketball. Maybe it's not. He hasn't talked about it. He doesn't have to talk about it. But I think there's this overarching belief that it's tied to basketball, and maybe even more so tied to his trade request. And that's where I think it gets into uncomfortable territory. I mean, I don't know what else the 76ers were supposed to do once Ben Simmons said, you know, he's not mentally ready to play other than, okay, we'll support you, we'll get you the help you need, we're going to stop finding you, I think was a big development. But they're all degrees, right? Like, there could be somebody who's, you know, dealing with things inside their job as a basketball player, outside their job as a basketball player, things that I think people, tie to mental health in terms of depression, anxiety, some of those things. And also, if there's somebody who just doesn't want to play for their team anymore, if they feel like that's not the best place for them, well, that's a mental thing too, right? Ben Simmons, aside from his back injury, which we can talk about a little more, but it's not like he's physically unable to play for the 76ers. He's made a choice. He doesn't want to play for the 76ers. That's a mental thing. So if he described that as mentally unready to play, like, how can anybody tell what degree that is? Is this the path that anybody requesting a trade uses going forward? Because it can be true. It could be other things like, you know, is that abusing the system? Is that the system working how it should? There's so many complexities with this. I don't know what to make of it. Do you have a sense of how we should be viewing that aspect of it?
Yeah, I think for sure there's some subjectivity here that wouldn't exist with a physical injury. I mean, just my personal stance on it would be, it's probably most prudent to lean on the side of trusting the word of someone who says that they're facing mental obstacles of some kind. I just don't think the precedent is great there if the first instinct is disbelief and believe, you know, just being suspect that someone might be using such a claim to game the system or whatever. You know, I think you ideally want to trust the word of the person. And it seems telling to me that the organization has been unified in doing that and in being supportive of him. I do think you make a valid point that, to me, it's not even controversial that, like, basketball is both a physical and a mental sport. And for Ben Simmons in particular, he was rather open last postseason in acknowledging that his free throw issue in particular was more mental than physical. Like, that was the response he gave when he was directly asked that question. And I remember after the game five of that series, where I believe he was like 4-14 from the foul line, asking him if he had an explanation for why his free throw percentage had dropped off so much after actually being, for him, at a decent standard from the foul line before the All-Star break. And it felt very vulnerable for me when he just genuinely said, "I don't know." So I think there's some grasping for answers on his end as to what's going on with him mentally and how he can improve his mental performance and mental readiness from a basketball perspective. So that aspect of this isn't necessarily new. But look, as far as what he is going through right now, I think probably the best approach is not to speculate, take him at his word. Like Tobias Harris said, you know, give him space to the extent it is appropriate to do so. And then it would be great at some stage to hear from him, which we haven't in a long time. But if we don't, kind of just try our best to stick with what we know here.
I mean, I think you're right. I do think the best thing to do is take him at his word and help him. And because what else can you do? But man, it's hard for me to think that in the 76ers front office, in the back of their mind, or maybe even the front of their mind, they're not thinking, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't know how much of this I can trust or where the lines are or how serious this is. I mean, I do believe that Ben Simmons is genuinely having there are genuine mental health things, right? You talked about the free throw shooting. He's been open about it. Like, I don't get why it's such a leap for people to believe the guy who wouldn't shoot three-pointers, the guy who started stinking at free throws, the guy who refuses to shoot in the fourth quarter deeper in the playoffs, the guy who some of his teammates who know him well suspected that he was trying to dodge a game seven because he mentally didn't want to play. Like, he probably does have mental blocks there that are real. I also question, and maybe this isn't even fair to question, but I question to some degree, well, what's he doing to mentally prepare for the season? Because he didn't want to play for the 76ers. Did he have interest in mentally preparing to play for the 76ers this season? Does he have a duty to do that, right? If he left the season not mentally prepared to play for the 76ers, he's under contract. Does he have any duty to actually try to mentally prepare to play for the 76ers? You know, he spent the summer wanting a trade. There's some reports that he wasn't communicating well with the team. Some of his teammates wanted to come out and talk to him, assure him that they wanted him to come back. He wouldn't even see them. Like, is he doing the appropriate things? Is it fair to ask that of him?
Yeah, I think it's a gray area. I would lean toward just trusting the Sixers' assessment here, especially given the organization was not hesitant about fining Simmons when they thought he wasn't fulfilling his contract. And now he is back working out at the team's practice facility, and they seem to think that he is doing everything he is obligated to do in terms of preparing to eventually play basketball for them, and have even expressed optimism, albeit without a firm timeline, that maybe that could happen somewhat soon. So I think just given that Daryl Morey and even Doc Rivers, who kicked Simmons out of a practice when he thought he was being a distraction, have shown that they are willing to set hard lines here, and that they feel that Simmons is to an extent upholding his end of the bargain here. I would think just based on that evidence, it's probably not fair to scrutinize Simmons too much just until we know a little bit more information. I think kind of that's the most valuable information we have right now. And that's kind of how the Sixers see it, that he is moving in a direction toward potentially playing for them again.
So those fines, the reporting was that, you know, he told the 76ers, this is from Shams Charania. This was reported after the practice, but it says in Simmons' first meeting with team personnel last week, Simmons reiterated to management, reiterated was the word, he's not mentally ready to rejoin the team. So I'm a little curious. I don't know exactly when Ben Simmons first told the 76ers he wasn't mentally ready to play. But if he told them that, and if they believe that to be genuine now, that's why they stopped finding him, presumably, unless it's something about the back injury. I'm not sure I have total clarity there. But if it's about Simmons not being mentally ready to play, and they believe that is a legitimate reason for him not to be playing, how did they find him before? How did they kick him out of practice? If they had somebody who wasn't mentally ready to play, and you accept that, how do they justify those previous fines?
Yeah, my understanding is that that meeting, I believe, last Friday morning evidently was somewhat of a turning point in that his teammates and Doc Rivers heard what he had to say and felt it to be valid and credible and threw their support behind him after he was open about where he was at and what he was going through. So, it's tough to figure out exactly what the distinction is, but it certainly seems like things changed in a significant way after that meeting. As far as the back issue, Doc Rivers said today pregame that the back is quote unquote better and that it's more mental and that that's where things are at. So that's the way the Sixers are framing it. It's definitely in their minds, the predominant issue here is a mental one, and they are satisfied that he is working out with, you know, members of the organization and moving in a direction where theoretically he could play for them again in a way that was not the case when he was being disruptive at practice. But a lot of twists and turns here. Wouldn't be shocking if something major changed in a few days. But for now, at least for the, you know, since that meeting last Friday, so for the last 6 days or so, things seem to be pretty consistently positive as far as the way the Sixers view Simmons and his behavior here.
I mean, let's just be real. Whatever is actually going on, Ben Simmons, when he, you know, came to practice, he got kicked out of practice. He got suspended. That cost him more money. As long as he indicates that he's trying to progress toward playing, whether it's legitimate or not, and I'm not making any judgment on whether it is or isn't, but as long as he's indicating that, but continues to say he's not mentally ready to play, that's his way of avoiding fines and not having to play for the 76ers, right? Like, how do we gauge whether progress is real?
Yeah, I'm not sure there's a great answer to that. And I also think it is worth noting for the Sixers, at least on paper, it's advantageous for it to be out there publicly that, hey, it's not so ludicrous to think that Simmons might play for us again. Just if you're looking at things from a leverage trade value standpoint, that particular line is, I think, preferable to one in which Simmons is showing up to practice and being a distraction and being disruptive to the team. So reason for skepticism perhaps there on multiple fronts, but yeah, as discussed earlier, at least from the standpoint of mental wellness, I just think it's an area where unless or until more information presents itself, the skepticism probably isn't well placed there in particular.
Yeah. Where do you think this goes? Do you think he's going to play for the Sixers again?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if I gave a confident answer to that question. It's tricky. A few reporters were kind of discussing something along these lines tonight. It feels very 50-50-ish to me right now.
Yeah, that's why I set you up to answer it, and I didn't give my own answer. Yeah. I'm also at about 50-50, and so let's put the pressure on you.
Yeah, 50-50. And that might change dramatically if you ask me in a few days. A dynamic here that I think just always weighs in the back of my mind is the idea of him like playing in front of Philadelphia fans again. And that has always just been so difficult to envision, just because there's been so much venom there and so much profound disappointment. And as you expressed earlier, I do think it's fair to characterize a large chunk of the fan base as being skeptical of the mental readiness dynamic here. So, man, that part's hard to believe, but maybe some scenario where he gets rolling on the road. You know, they have a long road trip coming up in February. Maybe that is a little easier to imagine. But yeah, you know, I'm not going to lie and say I have a great gauge on that likelihood. And it doesn't seem like the organization or maybe even Simmons himself does right now either. So yeah, as of today, I'll put it at a pure 50-50.
February. Wow, that's because I mean, how long can the 76ers go like this? Like, what's the next turning point? I mean, maybe we could just have this weird in between until February of, you know, he's practicing sometimes. He says he's not mentally ready to play. We believe he's working on it. We're not finding him. We're trying to help him. And when he's ready, he's ready. And we're looking for a trade. Maybe we can just do this for months. I don't know. That seems strange. I guess as I talk it out, I don't know why we can't.
Yeah, I mean, relative to the hubbub and chaos that preceded it, the past 6 days or week or so has been kind of calm on the Simmons front. And as we've discussed, like there's only so many ways you can probe appropriately into his mental readiness, especially since Simmons himself is not available to the media. And I don't sense that his teammates have great insight into that particular question either. I think as far as a key date, like obviously December 15th, you know, when a bunch more players will be eligible to be traded, that's one that stands out. And then after that, you got the NBA trade deadline. But yeah, it is entirely conceivable to me that this could linger for a very long time and that there could just be a lot of uncertainty for quite a few more months. I think that is very possible.
You know, having covered Ben Simmons up close, and I know you've talked about how he doesn't really let people in, but the sense you have, I don't know, what do you think? Because I think the way to accelerate a trade is just to cause chaos, cause mayhem, the way James Harden did, the way Jimmy Butler did. First, I think Jimmy Butler loved doing that in Minnesota. I think James Harden had a tough time with it with the Rockets, but did it and it worked out. And I don't think he had that tough a time, but I don't think that really suited his personality. The sense I get from afar is that doesn't suit Simmons. That, you know, he doesn't want this confrontation. That's my sense. Being around him a little more, what do you think?
Yeah, the state of affairs where he was there at practice and just kind of shuffling through the defensive drills and looking sort of listless, but I guess at least technically for 2 days, fulfilling his obligations to the extent that Doc Rivers didn't think he needed to kick him out of practice. That almost felt like consistent with Simmons's natural disposition, where he's not always the most like outwardly emotional and just kind of does his own thing and what have you. And when we got the news that he had been suspended for a game, that didn't feel consistent with his character. And I did wonder if he was going down that route, whether he would really be able to stick with it for a sustained period of time. You know, ultimately, it only lasted to the extent that he was suspended for a game. And then a couple of days later, he's having this meeting with his teammates where he tells them he's not mentally ready to play. So, look, Ben Simmons is someone that, as a leader, his teammates, I think over the years, respect the way he goes about his business, where he's not always so in your face, but you know, he always plays extremely hard and takes a lot of pride in being an unselfish player who gets his teammates involved. And at least in a non-scoring context, is one of the more physical guards in the NBA. So there are a lot of positive qualities he brings to the table as a player when he's engaged. But the fundamental truth here is he wasn't engaged, and the lack of engagement really wasn't sufficient to cause that much of a disruption. And ultimately, he made the decision to go a different route here with the stance of not being mentally ready to play. So, yeah, he's a complicated person. I think there's definitely some passion, I think, that often goes unrecognized, bubbling under the surface. And he really does commit to his teammates when he wants to be there. But as of now, all indications are that for quite a long time, he did not want to be with the Sixers. And now we remain in this weird limbo where he is working out with the team and all of that, but there's no real sense of when he might actually return to a game.
Do you think he'll ever want to play for the 76ers again, as opposed to, you know, we put it at around 50-50 that he'll play for them. When I put it as a little bit under, and that's mostly as, you know what, at some point he might come to the determination that playing is his only way not to get fined. It might be his best path to get a trade to happen. I'm not predicting he's ever going to want to play for the 76ers. You know, that if he, I'm going to predict that if he ever as long as he'll have his preference, have his way, he would not be playing for the 76ers. Do you think he'll ever reach the point where, you know, maybe it's impatience of not playing, maybe it's to save his reputation, still want to trade? I'm not saying will he ever withdraw his trade request, but a lot of guys play through trade requests. We saw, I think, a very public example is Anthony Davis. He asked for a trade from the Pelicans. They didn't trade him at the deadline. After the deadline, he's the one who said, I still want to play. I'm a basketball player. I want to be out there. They said, we want to sit you down. Do you think there'll ever be a point, trade request withdrawn or not, where Ben Simmons' preference would be, hey, you can still get your money, but you can play or not play. What do you want to do? Do you think he'll ever get to the point where he'll want to play?
Yeah, I'd put that at a little more improbable than just the broad, does he suit up for the Sixers again question. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, just because, you know, when we were assessing this situation before the season, part of what stood out as unique was that, like, he's 25 years old with 4 years left on his contract. And the concept of him sitting out the duration of that contract was just felt very, very difficult to imagine ever happening. You know, this is a player in his prime coming on off an all-star season and just wasting all that potential, you know, is just not something that we really had a good template for. That said, you know, he's been okay with not playing to this point. But I imagine if the Sixers were not to pull the trigger on a trade before the deadline, then the odds of that maybe go up a little more, where who knows, you know, the playoffs are approaching and, you know, not wanting to miss out on that again, or just not wanting to miss out on a full season of basketball or what have you. But frankly, a lot of this, I think, has been somewhat uncharted territory. That most certainly would be if he were to sit out 50, 60 games and then return for the stretch run. But yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you that what's most likely here is him continuing to have the strong preference of I want to be dealt. But who knows? There have been some unpredictable elements of this for sure. And I wouldn't be stunned by much. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is why people are skeptical of everything going on, because I think there is this belief that he'll never prefer to play. And so is what he said, how genuine is it? What he's saying, like how extreme is it? What's the, you know, again, a mental readiness can mean so many different things. There's so many degrees. And to a large degree, I mean, this is what sports is. You know, who can be mentally ready? Who has the fortitude to make those free throws, and who doesn't, right? That's what the game is. You know, that's different than things going on in your personal life. And we don't know what it is with Ben Simmons. I think there's that assumption. But I think this is where the skepticism comes in, because there just aren't the signs that he actually wants to play. And that's what people want to see. Is him want to play. Now, some of that might be in his control. Some of it might not. Some of that might be in the team's control. Some of it might not. What is outside the team's control is what kind of trade offers they're getting. Daryl Morey said, you know, not trading Ben Simmons for role players, need a difference maker, or not doing it, and said he'll wait 4 years. I think obviously that's hyperbolic, but that was a message there. The most speculation has been around Damian Lillard on the Trailblazers. That Morey's going to wait for Damian Lillard because he believes, hey, if I got Ben Simmons, I got the best package. Number one, I'm not sure a Ben Simmons package is going to be the best offer the Trailblazers get. I wouldn't assume that. That would be a catastrophe if Damian Lillard gets traded and the 76ers have Ben Simmons and can't make that happen. You know, they'll definitely be in the mix with Ben Simmons draft picks, maybe some other young players, whatever. The best offer, not 100% sure. But the bigger problem is, the Trailblazers don't want to trade Damian Lillard. Lillard just restated his commitment to Portland. I think that's how he's wired. He wants to make it work there. He wants to stay there. I think he's kind of committed for the season. Now, maybe the Sixers will wait this out for the full season. Something will change in the offseason. But the Blazers are 2-2, very uneven. We'll see how that goes. Maybe Lillard will change his mind. But I think he's pretty invested at the moment.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches, but there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Do you see a trade? Obviously not one that makes sense right now, but one that could unfold to make sense.
Yeah, I mean, for Portland, I think in the early stages of this saga, CJ McCollum made a lot of sense. I think that continues to be the case.
Is CJ McCollum a difference maker?
Yeah, to me, he would be for the Sixers. You know, this team has been deficient in shot creation from the perimeter, specifically late in games, for quite a while. That's not a Ben Simmons specific problem, but it's one that CJ McCollum could address. I think the pairing with Joel Embiid is really strong on paper. And yeah, I think he is not on a high end of the difference maker scale, but for me personally, he would probably check off that box. But we know Daryl Morey is ambitious and is stubborn, and he is much more willing to wait than to settle here. So unclear if, McCollum would be sufficient. But in my mind, that was always sensible, and that hasn't really changed. But I think part of what I found difficult to reconcile with Maury's comments, though I agreed with the overall stance and not wanting to trade Ben Simmons for role players, but you know, he brings up the point of Joel Embiid is in his prime, and that is why it is so important to get a difference maker if you're going to deal Simmons. But like, geez, waiting 4 years, you know, theoretically, is kind of wasting 4 years of Joel Embiid's prime. Now, of course, I don't think any of us believe Maury actually would wait 4 years. But even a scenario like the one you described, where he waits a full year and doesn't make a deal before the deadline, that is probably 1 year down the drain for a superstar MVP runner-up center who is 27 years old and just has had very few stretches of sustained health in his career. So there's, in my mind, some urgency because of who Joel Embiid is and the fact that he's in his prime and has just become such a great player. I understand the notion of you better nail that Simmons trade so that you can get Embiid the quote-unquote difference maker that he deserves next to him. But I also think like the Sixers aren't working on an infinite clock here. And the timeline that you have to do that deal, it's not 4 years. You got to do it before then. The underlying point of you don't want to waste Embiid's prime. I think it's a nuanced one where there's got to be some degree of time urgency, at least to the extent that you're not going to just sit for 4 years.
I agree 100%. You cannot assume that Joel Embiid is going to remain healthy forever. There's a lot of reasons to believe his clock for his remaining prime is ticking away faster than it would for another player of his age and his ability because of his injury history. And so, yeah, I think there does need to be that urgency. Embiid is showing that urgency. He's playing through a knee injury. He told Ramona Shelburne that he couldn't walk for 2 days after the season opener, even though he played his second game less than 46 hours later. So obviously a little bit of hyperbole there. I don't think Joel Embiid minds people really looking at him as putting the franchise on his back, doing all he can. Like, he wants that, the reputation that comes with playing hurt. I believe the injury is real, of course, but maybe trying to frame it a certain way to get the very most credit. In addition, one of the reasons is I think he wants to win MVP. He's talked a lot about winning MVP. He seems to care about it. He might have won it last year if he stayed healthy, played enough games. Might not want that argument working against him this year. Also talk of, well, he's doing it because the team doesn't have Simmons and needs him more. And I mean, you can see that he is responsible for more offensive creation than he would be otherwise. What do you make of Embiid's health, of why he's playing through this? Is this good for the team? Is this just, hey, if Embiid wants to play, he's going to play? What do you make of it?
Yeah, it's always been a really tricky balance with him. And back in the day when Brett Brown was the Sixers head coach, he often stressed this concept of landing the plane and arriving at the playoffs in peak health and in peak rhythm as being the top priority. And in my mind, that's still a good value to have with Joel Embiid. Like, you do worry a little, I think, seeing him grit through knee soreness in early season games that are relatively meaningless. But I don't think that particular comment he made to Ramona Shelburne is one that should lead to a massive level of concern. He, you know, was at shoot around, you know, the Friday morning of that game. He looked just fine warming up before the game. Yes, he's dealing with knee soreness, but he's playing. He's still playing at a very high level. There's definitely an element of drama there that I think perhaps does not reflect the reality of the extent of this particular injury. But yeah, his health is always paramount for the Sixers. And I think it's admirable that he wants to grit through. And he said tonight, like, his goal every single year has been to play more games than the year prior, and to be there for his team. And you know, he obviously wants to be the leader of this team and sees himself as the face of the franchise after getting a Supermax extension this offseason. But there's got to be some element of balance. I think the Sixers recognize that. And you would hope that they don't do anything rash as far as allowing him to play when it's not wise to do so. But I don't see any indication that that has really been the case to an alarming level yet. Certainly suboptimal that he had a knee collision in literally the first quarter of the first game of this season. But he seems to be okay, if not 100% from a health standpoint, as things stand.
Hey, did his opening night comment of, you know, show support to our brother Ben because he's our brother, whatever, do you think that had any effect on the fans there?
I think people did. Yeah, people were a little taken aback, didn't know how to take it. Yeah, I mean, look, every Sixers fan has their own thoughts and feelings on Ben Simmons. It was only, you know, a 30-35 second speech. I think most folks were probably expecting something generic, thanking the fans for their support. And then that came a little bit out of the blue. But I think we're at a stage where Joel Embiid, in the eyes of most fans, can do no wrong. And not to say that fans took that comment as gospel, but it's nothing that rubbed people the wrong way, because Joel Embiid obviously calls himself the process. So he has the support of folks who stuck with this team through a lot of lean years. And I think one of the more fulfilling parts about being a Sixers fan these days is that Joel Embiid, after two seasons on the bench injured, became as great as everyone thought he could be, and is now a legit MVP contender. So now he's beloved by Sixers fans. There have been a few ups and downs, but I don't think that speech was anything that was viewed in a strongly negative way by most fans.
Yeah, I didn't quite mean it that way about it being taken negatively, but is he beloved enough that any 76ers fans are going to listen to him and support Ben Simmons if Ben Simmons ever shows up to a 76ers game again as a 76er and cheer him instead of boo him? Are there any fans that behind Embiid that they're taking that directive?
Maybe a small chunk, but I wouldn't say the majority. You still hear, even with Simmons's absence, you still hear negative chants about him at these home games, and the prevailing feeling still seems to be he does not want to be here, and we most definitely do not want him. So yeah, I don't think Joel Embiid is going to be overwhelmingly persuasive on that front, but he does have a lot of loyal followers, so I'm sure a small percentage are on board with whatever he says.
Yeah. So what's the next shoe to drop? What's with the Ben Simmons situation? What's going to change? What's the next major step? And you know what? I'll even give you the option. If you think we're doing this until February with no major step, that can count too.
Yeah. I mean, I put the 50-50 label on it earlier, so I think the next major step is either he progresses to actually participating in team activities again and he's practicing, and Doc Rivers starts to get questions about, okay, where is he at conditioning-wise and when might he play again? And Rivers most likely takes all of that in a casual way, but continues to reiterate this stance of he's always believed Simmons will eventually rejoin the team. And then we start to get awfully close, and then maybe that happens. So that's door one. And then I think door two is that come December 15th, Daryl Morey really escalates some of these trade conversations and reopens discussions that had been on hold, and finds that difference maker he's looking for. And then I think door number three is the one you alluded to, where this just lingers on and on. And there continues to be just a great degree of uncertainty about exactly what's next. And yeah, that would be still a very realistic path that might materialize. But yeah, I see it as, in a broad sense, those are probably the three ways we could go. And again, the sense is that first option is getting more and more likely, because you think, okay, Simmons is willing to be working with, you know, Sixers assistant coaches and at team's practice facility again. You know, that's not that far from him practicing with his teammates. Of course, it's just near impossible to gauge, because no one knows besides Simmons exactly where he is at mentally and what his preferences are. But just based on what we know, I see those as the three options, and I see option one as becoming increasingly likely.
I think those are all very possible. I'm going to take door number four. I think my prediction is going to be that the 76ers send him home. That I don't know exactly what will precede that, and all of the things you said are very possible too. But I think it's just hard to continue with the status quo. I think it's going to be hard to get Simmons back on the floor. I think it might just hit the point where the 76ers say, we don't want this distraction. We you know, we'll send you home. We'll still pay you. You know, in a sense, you win. You get to go home. And, you know, probably with a stated, you know, we'll welcome you back if you're ready to play. And we hope you're working on the things and we'll support you from there. But having you around and not ready to play and inviting these questions, it's no good. You know, in some ways similar to what the Nets did with Kyrie Irving. I think, you know, the Nets are facing a lot of questions. And, you know, when Kevin Durant brings up Kyrie Irving, there'll be talk about Kyrie Irving. But it's not the daily drama that I think is coming from the 76ers with Ben Simmons.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, as I kind of mentioned earlier, I think the drama quotient has substantially declined over the last week, because there's only so many ways you can approach this issue. And the Sixers, at least in terms of what they have to reveal, are in a pretty solid position here where, you know, obviously we would always love more information and more insight, but we understand that they can't really tell us much. And we understand, okay, Simmons isn't active, so we're unable to hear from him. And we're kind of in this position where I'm not sure the team finds it especially uncomfortable or especially distracting. Now, again, who knows how long that can last. But for me, it wouldn't be shocking if we're in a near identical spot in a week or two, and the Sixers are okay with that. They've already dealt with a lot of prickly territory, so I think right now they don't feel too bad about the distraction factor, and they feel that the team has strong chemistry and that Simmons is not detracting from that as things stand.
But if we still agree that he's going to want to trade, maybe he will detract from that, right? Deliberately, because that's how you get traded. You undermine that chemistry. You make it so the team wants to get rid of you. And if the 76ers are still digging in their heels about not accepting a lesser trade offer and a better one hasn't presented itself, that's where I think is one of the ways him getting sent home could happen. But I don't know. You don't know. I doubt Ben Simmons knows. I doubt Daryl Morey knows. A lot of cards left to be played, and looking forward to seeing how this saga unfolds. The main way I'm going to do it is read your work at NBC Sports Philadelphia. Follow you on Twitter at Noah Levick, L-E-V-I-C-K. Noah, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, much appreciated. Thank you for having me.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.